Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hello, Short Porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman.
The Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Snap back to Jones.
Ball's out of the way, and recovered by T.J. Watt.
I'm not surprised by it, but it doesn't mean that it's not appreciated.
Earlier on the show, Indiana head coach Kurt Cignetti. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Atlanta Dream co-owner Renee Montgomery. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Dan Orlovsky is going to join us about 20 minutes time. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. That's an hour number three. Renee Montgomery will be zooming in to talk about her new documentary, The Atlanta Dream Partner and Vice President, A Radical Act. It's right here on the Roku portal. So we're all one big family pulling it all together for that. We started the program talking about the Steelers and their victory. I'd like to spend a little time on the Giants now. And, you know, the G-men sitting at 2-6. I want to be positive first here. Because
you're a positive guy.
Well, it's not just that, though. I know everybody's kind of crapping on New York sports right now. Yankees 0-3 in their, you know, World Series attempts to win a game, and the Jets and the Giants both losing, both 2-6. It looks dire. But I'll tell you what, man, that Giants team that's 2-6, they've got some really good players on that team. And you know, that Dexter Lawrence is an absolute beast. And Brian Burns, I don't blame them for saying let's get, and you know, we got to get Thibodeau back healthy, right? But I don't blame him. Lawrence in the middle and Thibodeau and Burns coming at you, that's not a bad way to try and win football games if you can put some points on the board. And Malik Nabers, dude, is the real deal. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
He is a man beater. He can get open. His route running can put people in a blender. And a couple times, there was like a fourth down play. Just go to him. He'll get open. And that kid Tracy, who got knocked out, he's in the concussion protocol right now.
He was having a day.
Buck 45 on 20 carries. He's made the most, you know, when Singletary went out with a groin injury. And I have been the guy who has been saying, you blew it with Saquon. And they get this kid late in the draft, and he's the first Giants player with 100 rush yards and a rushing touchdown a game since Saquon did it in week 10.
Yeah, he was a wide receiver. He was a wide receiver, fifth round pick, converted running back.
And he's doing well. It's just, again, you do have to sit here and wonder if the issue with the G-men started when Joe Shane, the general manager, couldn't or wouldn't figure it out 2 league years ago with Saquon Barkley, wound up franchising him and giving Daniel Jones the long-term deal rather than the other way around. And if they did it the other way around, would they be in any better position right now? And the question is we just don't know. Because the fact that they were drafting so high last year to give them Malik Nabers, Would that have happened if they had a different quarterback? I don't know. Who would they have gone to? Would they have basically gone away from Daniel Jones this year? And if so, what if they would they have drafted a quarterback instead of Malik Nabers? I don't know. We just don't know these answers.
Right.
It's just the here and the now. And, you know, obviously it's a quarterback-driven league. And then last night, the mistakes, the Giants just can't play. If they play mistake, well, how about this way? To win a game like that on a Monday night against the Steelers team that's playing the way that they're playing at home on a Monday night where they haven't lost 22 such straight games, you got to play damn near perfect football. And there were too many mistakes from that two-point conversion that they went for. We discussed this at the end of last week.
You're all over this.
I'm not a fan of going for two when you don't have to. You don't need to. You're only going for it because you're figuring if I get it here, then a touchdown will win it. We're not going to have to play overtime. And when you don't get it, suddenly the momentum you get from a touchdown is defrayed and you're putting less pressure on your opponent to respond. And their two-point play was such an unmitigated disaster, it absolutely defrayed the momentum of their touchdown. And then it created issues for them where they're now going to have to chase the two. But Daniel Jones was like barking about, did you see him barking about being, after the two-point conversion was such a mess? And I know that that's what Brian Daboll's trying to bring out of Daniel Jones, is the red ass. Like, be more of a red ass. And again, that's the whole thing too, is like Eli wasn't a red ass. Great when you're winning. When you're losing, it's just like, does this guy have a pulse? Mm-hmm. Say that all the time with coaches, right? Yep. Joe Torre didn't have a pulse. It's great when you're winning. When you're losing, it's just like, what are you doing? Show some piss and vinegar here. And it's not, I understand why the Giants initially stuck with Daniel Jones. And he was unbelievable in that playoff game against Minnesota. Yeah. That performance definitely gave Joe Shane more of a confidence level in signing Daniel Jones long term. And the $40 million bucks a year, it sounds large, but not compared to everyone else's salary at the position in the NFL. And you can see it. Like, he has the... He's got the abilities, right? Like, he's got the arm. He's got the legs. He's got the brain. He's got it all. And then he'll do stuff like fail to bring the protection over to TJ Watt with 3 minutes to go. And then a trifecta takes the ball away. After you just took the ball away. And then when your defense gives you the ball back down eight, and you're on the Pittsburgh 35, and you're pressured with less than a minute to go, and you airmail your wide-open running back, and Beanie Bishop gets the New York sports team again. How about that? You got the Jets. You got the Giants. Beanie Bishop's going to miss playing teams from New York.
Right.
And then that happens, and it's just like, these are mistakes that you shouldn't be making at this part of your career. And it you know... Good thing for Daboll, he doesn't have much hair to pull out of his head, right? I could say that as a member of the Brotherhood.
Of course, we're allowed to. Unfortunately, you know, he's coaching for his job right now.
I don't know. I mean, John Mara said that he's going to have patience with, and I understand why he would say that. I understand Belichick lurks.
Yeah.
and Vrabel lurks. But Daboll, man, Daboll comes from... Right, from the Saban tree in college, yep. and he came from Buffalo, where Josh Allen looked pretty damn good when he was watering and fertilizing that. He was coach of the year with Daniel Jones looking like that in year one, and then it's just been regression. And do you blame that on the coach?
Yeah.
I know you can, but
yeah, that's coaching,
dude. Daniel Jones had this to say afterwards.
Yeah, it's frustrating for sure. Very frustrating. We hurt ourselves a lot tonight, and that's the most frustrating part about it. So we've got to be more detailed, starting with me, and you know, some of the good stuff that happened, you know, was negated by, you know, those mistakes.
Damn straight there was some good stuff. And again, I speak from knowledge. The Jets no-showed in that stadium the previous Sunday night in Week 8. No-showed. After a first quarter, and then all of a sudden, Russell Wilson does his thing, and he starts cooking like it's 2015 all over again. And great that Davante Adams was there and giving big-time speeches and stuff, but the Giants didn't no-show. The Giants put up much more of a fight than the Jets did in that building the week before. And so there's positives, but again, you're just like, dude, how do you throw that? Dude, how do you forget to bring your tight end over from the left to the right to make sure 90? We circle 90 every single second of the day all week long. You can't leave him one-on-one. How do you kind of forget that? At this stage of your career, Brian Daboll asked again if Daniel Jones is his starter next week against the Commanders.
I thought he did some good things. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, like you said at the end there, you know, it's all of us. We just didn't get done.
And just to clarify, he's still your quarterback going forward again?
He is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect to Drew Lock, you got to keep going with him, right? I mean, you're paying him the money. And he does, I mean, some of those throws, right, deep down the middle are frozen ropes, right?
And that's kind of been
Slayton
the rub.
At 108 yards receiving, Malik Nabers, you know, he missed a couple weeks, and he's still the third player in the Super Bowl era with 40 or more receptions through six career games, six more than Saquon had, by the way. How about that? He was catching a lot out of the backfield, and four fewer than Puka Nacua last year, and he's now the new standard of first-year receivers. I mean, Marvin Harrison's not up there. Yeah. And
Daniel Jones, I mean, he does these things, and he has the flashes of like, wow, that's a top 10 quarterback. The way he throws it, the way he's run, we've seen how mobile he is and how fast when he's in the open field.
Yeah.
And then he just does all the other dumb stuff you'd think a guy in his fifth, sixth year wouldn't do anymore.
But now he's not one. In the same way that the Steelers haven't lost 22 at home on Monday Night Football, he has yet to win one. And the Giants are on Monday Night Football a lot. He's now 0-8 in his career on Monday Night.
He's the new Kirk Cousins.
1-15 in his career in prime time. Come on now. Kirk was never
that bad.
That bad.
Yeah.
That's the worst winning percentage in the NFL of the Super Bowl era in prime time. Starts 1-15. 12 career interceptions on Monday Night Football. Most since 2019. So again, under the lights when you gotta perform, because most of the time, right, usually that's when they're taking on your Cowboys. Giants, you could book the Giants and Cowboys under the lights at least once a year,
every season.
And I guess he's lucky that technically it's not a primetime game on Thanksgiving.
It's not.
I don't
nobody's
think so.
Working.
It's as prime time as it gets.
Yeah. No, but I mean, prime time is an 8 o'clock start.
Right, right.
Yeah. Which is not the prime time game on Thanksgiving is Miami and Green Bay.
According to who?
I mean, according to television executives who create what a prime time schedule is.
I get it, but much like Brockman's argument about Mahomes not having top 10 statistics. This is a case where the numbers don't truly tell.
I've got him in their next standalone game in Munich against Carolina. We're going. The whole show's going to be there.
Well,
we're all going.
Not all of us.
Mike's going to be back here holding down the fort. Yeah. Right.
Attaboy, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
That's all good. So, you know what I'm saying? I think I'm giving the full glimpse here is the coach knows how to coach. And the defense knows how to play, and the offense has got some skill. Like we were saying, you've given up Saquon, you've given up your best skill player, you're screwed, and you draft two, actually.
Yeah, and they look fine.
Right?
They look,
and
they're going to be good.
And Slayton can catch it, right? Robinson can catch it.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? You're going to start Daniel Jones next year?
I don't think so.
You going to bring him back? No, start him next year?
You know what I heard at the combine. You know what I heard it.
Oh, I get it.
And they try to draft one. But they went Nabers instead of J.J. McCarthy or Penix or Bo Nix. And
you can cut him. The dead cap is $22 million, and you're out.
And then you got to figure out from there.
Well, I mean, they got Cutlets on the sideline.
Well, he was one of those inactives.
No, it's. Do you like Carson Beck? Do you like Shador if he drops? Like, or you're in the top five?
Do they want Aaron Rodgers? Aaron might not want to move.
I think Aaron's done playing after this year.
Oh boy, I don't know about that.
He looks terrible.
The Jets look terrible. Like I said, would you take? I mean, both are disappointing, obviously, but the Giants showed last night. They showed. They stuck in there. They hung in there. They hung in there.
You didn't give up a punt return, which is, you know, that's few and killer, far between, bro. This year. That's
that
super killer. That
2-point conversion going for it to begin with and doing that, and then giving up a punt return and then having two turnovers in the fourth quarter from the 3-minute mark on when you have a shot to win it,
right,
or tie it. You know, you're not going to win Monday Night Football games in Pittsburgh that way.
No.
Let's take a break. Dan Orlovsky will join us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. Obviously, he's got thoughts on these subject matters. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back here on the program, Dan Orlovsky going to zoom in a moment. It was just a rough watch last night.
When did you watch all the way to the end?
Yeah, no, I'm... It was time to put the kids down. I would start putting in, you know, sleepy time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And 4-0, it was just. But at one point, Coop went to go get a couple of hats to put on her heads with the rally cap.
Caps. Yep. Nice.
You know,
got to do something.
Rough watch.
Just in case you're wondering, didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I watched.
Who was the first person to ever turn a cap inside out and say that we're going to score runs because I've done this?
Well, there's that, and then you could do the shark, too, where you kind of like...
The what?
You do like this, and you put the... like that.
Yeah, you can do the shark.
Do the shark.
Right. Which is more effective?
I don't know. I was always kind of a shark guy. I don't know. I didn't like the inside out.
Are you superstitious watching your Cowboys or any of your 19 teams?
See, first of all, why do you want to be disrespectful with
I'm
the
not.
Question?
I'm not. Am I off? All right, one of your 12 teams?
It's a little.
Are you superstitious?
We're talking professional teams, Rich, okay? There's not that many. College don't count.
Okay.
Why wouldn't college count?
It counts.
Because I'm...
Okay. Are you superstitious watching?
You know, I'm sitting here thinking no, but there are certain things I do tend to wear. So, yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit.
Everybody's got a little.
A little superstition, for sure.
Everybody's got a little, right?
Everybody's got a little bit. A little. Something's going on. Change your seat. Huge games I like to watch alone.
You're not at all?
I used to be as a kid, but not anymore.
I still am.
Not anymore.
Home alone, watching.
Well, aging is realizing
doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Tooth Fairy. We understand, right?
Wait, tooth fairy.
Hey, spoiler alert. Come on, Rich.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Dan Orlovsky will be joining us shortly on the program from the worldwide leader in sports. Did you see Jameis Winston was on Good Morning Football?
I did. I did see that.
Way too close to his camera, which makes it more enjoyable.
You need Jameis as up front in your face as possible.
I mean, because that's how it feels when he's probably giving you his pregame speech.
You see, he was doing the speech and he was like, the decals on your helmet. Wait, we don't have those. And then he just like kept going through.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
He was like, you got to play for the names on the back of your jersey. I mean, for the something on your helmet. He goes, okay. Wait, we don't have decals on our helmets.
Let's bring in Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan, did you ever give one of those pregame speeches to your team when you were starting? Did you ever do one of those, Dan?
In college, for sure. In the NFL, no. I wasn't... I wasn't that person in the NFL. I think most of the time, Rich, when I was starting, it wasn't a great situation. To like, hey, we're 0-9. Let's go win a game, boys. So in college, for most of my college time, for sure. But I think in the NFL, I shied away from those.
What'd you see from Jameis that we – because, again, that was the general sense as we were watching Deshaun Watson struggle, is that Winston would look better. No Amari Cooper, change of play caller, in comes Jameis, and voila. Is that as simple, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, one, we know that there's always, you know, when the quarterback change happens, it feels like instant better performance by everybody on the football team, certainly the offense. We've seen that a couple of times. I think the big thing is, and Jameis kind of intimated it, I believe, after the game in a post game, and he said, when I'm making consistently great decisions, I'm a very good starting quarterback. And that's really how it played out. He made a ton of really good decisions with the football. I think the second thing is he gave guys chances. You know, when you play quarterback, when you play with conviction and you play with confidence, and the literal way that plays itself out, Rich, is you are getting the ball out of your hands quickly. And that makes – okay, so number one, the offensive line has to protect shorter because the ball's coming out. Number two, the most open guys are in the NFL is immediately out of their break. It's not like they get more open after getting out of their cut. And so when you're throwing it with conviction and on time, the receivers have a little bit more space, or they can adjust to the football a little bit. So I think he gave some guys some chances. It could also be said that what the Ravens did specifically at the end of the football game was odd to witness, running six straight all-out pressures with man coverage with two defensive backs who are starters not in the game. So Jameis was wildly impressive, and he's easy to root for.
Yeah, so is it sustainable, do you think? Like, do we see like what we saw from Flacco last year? We're going to see it again here?
I don't think that performance is sustainable. I think teams are going to play a little bit more tactical in certain situations, a little bit more measured. You know, when you're getting all out pressure, it's like just throw it to a guy and hopefully he wins, or you could block it up, or you make a play in space. I think teams will be a little bit more reserved with kind of the coverages that what they want to play. Again, he gave guys chances in one-on-one situations. The Njoku touchdown, he makes the play. Those aren't consistently plays that are going to get made. You know, that's just not the NFL. It's just throwing it up for grabs. And I don't want to say he did that, but you're not constantly going to win those one-on-one kind of 50-50 balls. So I do believe an uptick of performance when in comparison to what Deshaun was doing. Absolutely. I don't know if they're going to go score 30 a game and that's sustainable now.
Meanwhile, Dan Orlovsky, in Indianapolis, you've got a young quarterback whose growth was stunted due to injury last year, and Anthony Richardson now getting the reps he sorely needs. I mean, the reps that he sorely needs, and showing some inconsistent play, to say the least, with the latest example being that awful throw he tossed towards the end of the first half in Houston that cost him 7 points. On top of him being honest and saying, I took myself out for one play because I got tired. And there's now a major hue and cry to say, let's go with Joe Flacco there. What are your 2 cents on this subject matter, Dan?
I got a lot more than 2 cents, okay? So I think a lot of the conversation over the last 36 hours around this is a little bit extreme. All right, so one, Rich, there are two different situations. The tapping yourself out in the play. The tapping yourself out, I think everybody to a man can't do it. It's inexcusable. You as the quarterback, you are the unwavering leader of the football team. You have to go put it on the line every single moment. I disagreed with what he does in that moment. I don't think he needs to get benched for it. I do think he needs to grow up from it. I do think he needs to mature from it and kind of feel and understand the gravity of that role. And hopefully that's a big like turning point of his career. I've seen a lot of people say bench him. I disagree with that. I think that's way too extreme. Now the play, because these are two different conversations. Mm-hmm. The Colts are in a tough spot, Rich. It is fair to say that it's better right now for this team in this moment to have Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback. Yes, that is fair because Joe is right now a more consistent player. It's also at the same time necessity that he plays. He has not played much football since high school, let alone college. He has to develop. He can't Trey Lance this. He can't go years and years and years without playing football. The only way at that spot to get better is being in those game environments. He's playing catch up reps wise. There's been roller coaster performance this year. There's questions I've had of like 2 weeks ago. I watched, why aren't you playing better? Why aren't you developing? This is the Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past week when he has the terrible box score, I actually think he plays significantly better than the box score shows. I'm going to do a tape on NFL Live today. Realistically, Rich, there are 6 throws that he makes in that game that all 6 can and should be caught. And all 6 of them are probably another 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. No one just made a play outside of Josh Downs one time. So again, I don't think it's a perfect, you know, it's the perfect answer for the situation for the Colts. But I do think this weekend's performance on tape was so much better than what the end result box score said.
That said, if you put Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings coming off of 2 losses in 5 days, if you put him on sodium pentothal right now and asked him, wouldn't you want Anthony Richardson to keep at it instead of Joe Flacco for Sunday night? He'd say, absolutely. I'd love for the Colts to try to keep developing this guy. He doesn't want to see Flacco. He'd put the kid out there again, Dan, right? I mean, don't you think?
Sure.
Anybody?
Yeah, because I think, again, I think right now for this team, in the perfect world, you would have Joe starting. But because Anthony's past is what it is, Anthony wasn't this guy that was, you know, a 3-year starter in college or has built up thousands of reps in college. He doesn't. And so that's why this situation is what it is. I thought this I thought it would be a little bit more advanced, the development. Bomani Jones reacted because I sent out on Twitter today, Rich, like, hey, the tape is significantly better. And I thought he brought up a fair question. He said, OK, but this is the same stuff that was being said about him in college. How come it continues to happen? And I responded back with, okay, number one, it takes reps to get better. It just does. Number two, a lot of it is, well, that throw's dropped. It's a 30-yard touchdown. But how come it was dropped again in the NFL and it's dropped in college? Are the receivers that he plays with always bad? Or, you know, can there be a little bit more touch on the football? Almost like what's happened a little bit with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, Josh Allen earlier in his career. Can the ball get out a fraction of a second sooner? Can you place the ball maybe 1 foot in front rather than on the face mask? There's a lot that's attached to it. That you the young man, you certainly see flashes, but I still believe he's got to play. Now he's got to do the work. I have no idea if he is. I'm not in the building, but he's got to do the work on a day-to-day grind basis for sure.
Dan Orlovsky from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you seeing out of Dak and Dallas at a crossroads right now, 3-4?
It's the chicken and the egg for me. Is the quarterback playing poorly because the scheme stinks, or does the scheme stink because the quarterback's playing poorly? Okay, it's never black and white, either one, but I battle between, okay, why is Dak not playing the way that we're accustomed to? And then is Dak playing a little bit less because I don't like this offensive scheme? If there's two teams that I hate watching their offensive tape right now, it's the Jets and the Cowboys. Mm. The way I talked about, I know that's a tough shot for you.
It's all right, man. That's where I was going to go next. Go ahead.
I see the Cowboys offense is like lined theme paper. Just everything's a straight line. And they're so dependent on lining up and being execution dominant. You have to go out execute on a play-to-play basis for the play to be successful. We are in an era where coaches are building in ways, whether it's formations or personnel groupings or motions or action, where their execution is still paramount, but like the ability to execute is enhanced. They're making it easier for those guys to execute. I just saw Schefter's tweet. Sorry, that's why my pause
was. No worries.
And so I think it's just it's a very schematically boring offense that puts too much pressure on everybody executing consistently.
Well, the tweet that you're referring to, I guess we have to now cycle back, Dan, that the Colts are benching Anthony Richardson. And you think that that is what? A mistake?
I don't know. No, because I get it. You got to win. I understand that you want to win. It's going to hinder his development. It absolutely is going to hinder his development. I think I don't know if it's attached for Shane Steichen, their head coach. Is it attached to the play or is it attached to that moment? You know, we got to get that answer. I do think that it's hard for him to continue to develop the in-game skills needed to play at a higher level if he's not playing. And I think that the Shane is realizing, I got a good enough team. Like, we can go win ball games. And right now, he believes that Joe is probably better suited to go get that done.
And I'll tell you, I'm sure if you had a GoPro on Kevin O'Connell, he's like, damn it. Seriously. I mean, because sure. To have an old head and rejuvenated arm, if that's even a phrase or appropriate for Joe Flacco, that's the last guy I'd want to see under center against me on a Sunday night. But circling back in the few minutes I have left with you, you were talking about the Jets being a frustrating watch. Aaron Rodgers saying that this offense can and should put up 30 every game. Why aren't they then, Dan?
Well, it's the same issues. Okay, so number one, the main reason is there's very little detail attached to this offense, and it's across the board. One, the offensive line in the run game doesn't go to the right people consistently. They very rarely, I've said this for weeks, that they don't go to what we call the second level. They run, linebackers run free, so there's not a consistency to their run game. Two, the tight ends cannot run block. And I've argued, instead of putting a tight end to run the football, do what Buffalo does, and they put a sixth offensive lineman on the field. So what if there's a predictive element of it? Just sprinkling enough of play action off of it, again, like Buffalo does. So that's a part of the issue in the run game. In the pass game, one, there's not a ton of winning on the outside, if I'm being candid. It's not like Garrett and Devontae are getting open consistently. Now, I would argue that they're standstill a lot, and it's harder to do. And then Aaron just does not throw the football over the field right now. He just won't. The only time that I watch Aaron look like Aaron, when it's like you watch him about to throw and be like, yep, here it comes, is when the ball is going to the perimeter. Over the middle field, there's a doubt, there's a hesitancy, and there's a lack of conviction with what he's looking at. And I think that makes his feet a little bit more uncertain, and maybe it's not wanting to get hit. Maybe it's he's already banged up, so he doesn't want to. And so there's no consistency to the sequencing of events on their offense.
So they're not beating man coverage, is what you're saying? Press coverage outside the two guys that Rodgers needs to win these matchups, and that's why they got Devontae Adams. You're not seeing that, Dan?
Not consistently. No, I mean not consistently. There's occasional moments, and there's also occasional moments where I thought this past weekend Aaron had four or five throws. You're like, man,
that's the guy.
Pure, yeah. You know? And so there's nothing that they, and I would make the claim right now, and it's surprising, I don't think there's anybody that they can hang their hat on. You know, I don't think there's a thing that they do or a person that they can turn to where they can hang their hat on when the going gets rough or they got to get something going and say, let's do this or let's go to this guy. That's just not there right now.
So who's playing this position the best right now? Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Lamar? Who would you say?
Josh, Jared, Lamar, Kyler Murray's playing phenomenal football right now.
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Kyler Murray's playing very good.
Well, I know they're 11 for 11 in goal to go situations for touchdowns. I know that in Arizona. They're scoring when they're goal to go.
And it's a big reason why is because of him. You know, Rich, if we just came into the season, if you were the Cardinals and you said, you know, I asked Jonathan Gannon this actually, what were the goals for the season realistically? You know, it's one, be competitive in December. Now they've been decimated by injuries. We're a month from December and they're in first place. They're 4-4. So that's a check, huge win.
Yep.
Two, Kyler, after the injury, second year system, make the questions or I guess the uncertainty of can you develop and really become the guy? I think he's answering those present day. You know, and then three, get Marvin to settle in as being a difference maker on the perimeter. And there has been some moments where I've been frustrated by that. But also you saw it this past week, like just throw the ball to that guy. So, yeah, Kyler's playing at a very high level.
Didn't mention Jaden Daniels. I forgot to mention him. I mean,
Yep. Right? He's up there. He's in that MVP conversation. Jaden is one guy changed the whole place. It's crazy. Again, just like Houston last year with CJ, one guy has changed the trajectory of that organization. I think Jalen Hurts the past 3 weeks has been really good, really encouraging because his first 3 or 4 weeks this season were not good. Stafford last week was great.
Yeah, he hasn't. Hurts hasn't turned it over since the bye. And then Stafford. I mean, dude, that's just the only word I have when watching him when he's on. And Kupp and Nacua are there, and Kyren Williams is a touchdown maker of the first variety. We were talking the other day, name me a quarterback, running back, and two wide receiver spot that you'd prefer. There's Philly, right, when they're working Philly. Right now.
Yep. Yep.
Other than that, I mean, you got to put the Rams in that conversation right now.
I would go a step further. I in my gut, believe – if they stay healthy, they win the division, and they are the tough out in the NFC outside of the Detroit Lions. I, in my gut, totally believe that. I think their young defensive line is the best young defensive line in ball. And just watching how they can and want to play offensively, I think they can control the football. The quarterback's playing just as good as he did last year. They just got to stay healthy. And that's the big question mark. Can they and can those perimeter guys? But there's no one I believe in more when it comes to like, can they get it done really outside the Rams and the Lions offensively?
How about that? Last one for you is Russ Reborn. He does look good, right? First two games.
He's the best I've seen him look since 2021. And that's surprising. I was wrong on Russ. I did not believe that Russ would throw it the way that he's throwing it right now. The crosser to Washington, the touchdown to Pickens that gets called back because he gets two right feet in instead of one right, one left, which doesn't make sense to my brain. The touchdown to Austin, the ball down the sidelines to Pickens, you know, for the big chunk at the, near the end of the football game. He's just flat out throwing it significantly better than I expected. Yeah, absolute hats off to him and Mike Tomlin.
Right. I mean, he does look like the guy, and he's moving well too, right? And he's not just moving well and taking off. He's keeping his eyes up and he's seeing the field in a way that in two games, I know it's just two, but that's the way it looks to me. That's why I wanted to confirm it with you. You know?
Yeah, he's played very, very high level football since he's become the starter 2 weeks ago. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Have a great NFL Live, Dan. You know how much I cherish whenever we have a conversation here. You make me smarter.
Same here, brother.
Great.
I'm grateful.
Take care. Right back at you, Dan.
Thanks,
Orlovsky.
Buddy.
You guys, that's Dan Orlovsky heading off on his rest of his day, going on to NFL Live, where that'll be a subject matter, will it not? Let's take a break. We'll come back and we will chop up the news coming out of Indianapolis. Flacco time. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time Tickets. If you haven't noticed, Basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You told a story about the genesis of All Right.
Yes.
All Right.
Here's where that comes from. So, okay. Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Genius film.
I'm in the right bar at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a guy goes, "Hey, you ever done any acting? You might be right, just right for this part." Legendary cast director and producer Don Phillips. I come back, and they do what's called a makeup and wardrobe test, meaning they're shooting another scene one night. I'm just going to show up. Director's going to step off the set and come and look and go, mm-hmm. "Great. I approve." Well, he comes and looks. He goes, "Geez, this is Wooderson. It's great." He goes, "Listen, you're not scheduled to work tonight, but we're over here at the Top Notch drive through, and you think Wooderson might want to pick up on the redheaded intellectual, Jake?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he goes, "Want to shoot it?" I'm like, "Sure." So I go get in the car. I'm about to shoot my first scene ever in a film.
Of your career.
Of my career. And I had been listening to a lot of 70s rock and roll at that time. There was a certain live recording of a Jim Morrison concert in like Amsterdam or somewhere where he barks at the crowd, "All right, all right, all right, all right," four times, real aggressively though. I'm not thinking about that, but this comes back. So I'm in the car and I'm like, "Who's my man?" I'm nervous. I'm about to hear act. "Who's my man? Who's Wooderson?" I said, "Well, I'm about my car." And I go, "Well, I'm in my 70 Chevelle." Yes. "There's one." Mm-hmm. I said, "I'm about getting high." I said, "Well, Slater's riding shotgun. You know he's got a Dubois rolled up." "There's two." I said, "And I'm about rock and roll." And I said, "Well, I got Nugent, Stranglehold in the 8-track, man." "There's three." And I hear action. And I look up and in my mind I go, "And I'm about chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Let's go get the fourth." "All right, all right, all right." That was it.
So
first words
confused.
I ever said on screen.
One of our favorite guests ever, all of Matthew McConaughey's appearances on our YouTube channel. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. Let's go to Al in Dallas. Al, do you need a hug? What do you think?
Uh-oh.
You need a hug, Al?
No, like I made a comment yesterday on InstaFace, Snapchat, whatever the hell it is, that every time the Giants, I feel glum about the Giants, the Jets just do something to me. To make it look worse. So that's all I got these days. It's
hey man, the G-men showed up last night. They at least kept you in it, and you know, and I know that it should be more than that. It should be like division titles, you know, championships and things of that nature, and you just want to start seeing some improvement in a week to week, year to year basis where you could start thinking this is the mix, this is the right roster, the right front office, the right coach, and you haven't seen it materialize. But at least you're not like the other team, you know.
Their future senior vice president of football operations, Bill Belichick, nice. Yesterday said, "You know how many interceptions the Giants have had the entire season?"
Well,
zero.
And then
zero.
And then we see. Okay.
It's crazy. TJ, did you get my $2 bill?
I did, man.
Oh, it's right there. You got it?
I told Brockman to hit you up.
It's plastic encased.
Look, this is gorgeous.
Wow.
It's encased. It's brand new, as Supercat once said.
Yeah.
Man of your word, Al. Man of your word.
Well done, Al.
And the last thing I'll say, Richard, regarding Daniel Jones is I played in a member guest over the weekend, and I did not pull my weight per se. Mm-hmm. And my partner told me, get your iPhone out and start snapping some photos so you can take a picture of this place, because you'll probably never see it again. And that's what Daniel Jones, this should be the farewell tour for old Danny Dimes, because it's over.
Thank you, Al. Great analogy. Great analogy. Take out your phone, start snapping what it looks like to be the starter of the Giants. That's what he says.
Send me those pics.
That's funny. The golf membership that I eventually, thankfully, earned here, or at least I got, mm-hmm. When I was playing to, with some of the members to gain membership, I was so terrible one day. Oof. On that day, I was terrible. I mean, and I'm not great to begin with, but this was particularly bad. And one of the members who was in charge said to me, we also offer tennis here. That's what he said. I think the way I was going to take that joke was going to be very important.
Right.
I took it. I understood it. I was not pulling my weight. You really want to come here for golf? How are you with tennis? It's funny.
Funny.
But I made it.
Funny show.
Listen, Anthony Richardson has not been pulling his weight. And TJ, you were the first to come in here and say they got to go to Flacco. And I'm like, they just can't do it. They won't do it. They shouldn't do it. He needs his reps. He's got to do it. I'm just wondering, when we'll hear from Shane Steichen on this. I'm just wondering if the I was tired thing put a thumb on the scale here. Mm-hmm. Hmm. You have to wonder that. Let's put it that way. You have to wonder that, because there are some serious grown-ass men in football, professional football locker rooms, who aren't going to sit around and say, we've just got to go with the ups and downs of this kid after he says, I had to get out of for a play because I was tired. There might be some in that room who are like, I'll deal with the ups and downs because I believe in this kid. I see all the hard work that he puts in, and he may be putting in all that hard work too, and he's definitely, as you could see, focused on the leadership part of this thing. Like, he'll stand in the tunnel and make sure he's slapping everybody in the hands as they're coming out or going back into the locker room. And then even he's standing there too, doing that even after throwing a terrible interception that cost his team dearly in a game they had to win if they wanted to, if they have designs on the division, having already lost week one to Houston, and you had Houston in their home and you're playing competitively. And again, that soundbite where he goes, I got to be honest with you, I was tired. For him to say that, and he might have the capital built up in the locker room where a bunch of the vets will be like, don't worry, kid, we've got your back. We understand that you did that. We felt like that way before. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. That's the whole part and parcel of doing a job like this, is we're not there. We're not in the locker room. We don't hear it.
Yeah, we don't know the relationship he has with the teammates. They might have taken them to the side and been like, look, kid, you can't not. And
right.
I kind of hope that is the case.
And let's go beat Minnesota.
Yeah,
But there is no doubt. And to your point, as you were saying, they got to go to Flacco a few weeks ago because of how ineffectual the play was from Anthony Richardson, whose season one got cut short by injury, which led to the fact that now you've got to go through the ups and downs in year two. Mm-hmm. And your plan as a general manager in these situations are, okay, we'll go through the ups and downs in year one, and then year two we'll be able to win together. Maybe year two will be that year that he grows up, and then now year two is another year of having to go through the ups and downs. That's the problem about being hurt last year. And Now you're in this situation. As you were saying, they got to go to Flacco earlier. There is no doubt in my mind. You look at the schedule. Can you put up the Indianapolis Colts schedule? And it starts with Sunday night. There is no doubt in my mind that when Kevin O'Connell heard Joe Flacco was starting Sunday night football, he's like, damn it.
You're probably right.
And if you asked Sean McDermott, if you asked Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach of the New York Jets, we're looking at the schedule. You ask, you know, by the way, I'd love to hear Dan Campbell on sodium pentothal hooked up to a lie detector machine. You can tell no lies, and he's a straight shooter to begin with. I'm just saying, you asked Gerard Mayo week 13 and Sean Payton week 15. Who would you rather face? Anthony Richardson going through the ups and downs, running the risk that he finally clicks, that the, if you will, coin finally drops in that jukebox finally, and the music starts playing? I know that's an old school reference.
Kids are like,
you run that risk. Maybe it's the game that he puts it all together. Would you rather run that risk or watch Joe Flacco come out and beat Joe Flacco? Not a single head coach in the NFL would say, oh, yeah, give me Joe Flacco. I don't want to face that kid, and he could possibly put it all together. And maybe that's where Shane Steichen sits down, and he takes some form of a pulse of his locker room, right? And goes, we got to make the switch. Because they can win a wild card spot right now.
Yeah, and everyone's been talking about development. You got to develop, of course. Obviously, the quarterback needs developed. But there's also 52 other guys on the roster who also need to develop. And you have to think about their careers and their opportunities to win right now as well.
Joe Flacco is going to get another shot of starting, man.
Flacco season, baby.
Dude, let's just, again, just real quick. At this point last year, he's sitting on the couch.
Yeah, when did he become the Browns?
I think this point last year, he was still sitting on the couch, gents.
Let's see. I'll tell you.
Because I think it was right around now that Deshaun Watson was beating the Ravens in that game in Baltimore. I think it was right around now.
Yeah, so Joe Flacco started five games for the Browns.
He's sitting at home. He's probably going through a drop-off for the kids.
Yep. Then going to work out.
Parents showing up to him and saying, what? Are you still playing, Joe?
Yeah.
Are you going to play? Is your career over? Like, probably hearing that from some of the moms and the dads at pickup.
Joe Flacco got signed by the Browns November after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. November 20th.
Dude. Yeah. Then he goes and wins comeback player of the year. Colts grab him. And it's just one of those things like, man, so if Anthony Richardson gets hurt, you're just going to have to remake your offense, huh?
It seems like it because they don't have the same skill set.
It's unreal. And now he's going to be potentially, like, the question is how long? How long does he stay there?
The whole season, man.
You really think so? You're going to go into year three wondering if Anthony Richardson's the guy?
Chris had a good point yesterday. It might be a full year. We're figuring out this is not an easy position to play. Look at Baker. Even Russ. Russ said something in his post game, which I want to point out to you guys. It was almost like he was saying, I'm still learning this, even at this time in my career. It's going to take time.
Maybe he's learning the new offense. He could have been referring to that or still the position. I mean, look at Jared Goff. We can go on and on and on. And look at all the guys in their Geno Smith, in their dotage.
You're going to always learn and get better. This is the toughest position in sports. So to expect a 22-year-old to have it right off the bat, it's kind of unrealistic.
Without a lot of experience at the college level. But now it's going to be Flacco on Sunday Night Football.
Flacco season.
Against the Minnesota Vikings. How about them apples? Renee Montgomery coming up in hour three.
I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but.
Well, you were saying it, and I was pushing back saying they can't do it. And they kept on at it. And again, I don't know because Dan Orlovsky's an all 22 guy. And if he's sitting there saying there are some plays that his receivers didn't make, then Steichen's seeing that too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody's seeing it. Kevin O'Connell's seeing it.
Brian Flores getting ready for Anthony Richardson up until this point was seeing it. Everybody sees it. Everybody sees the same film, and they have the same interpretation. They know if the kid's having problems seeing the field or what happens. Everybody sees it. If he's sitting there saying he saw some plays that Richardson was making, but his other compatriots on the play were not, then Steichen saw that too. And then decided what? That the way the game ended? The way that he said that he was tired? Because I'm sure the way that he told the rest of the media he was tired was readily apparent to everybody on the sideline from the third quarter on of that game. They knew it. He said, I need a blow. Flacco knew it, running out there, handing off to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting. Not one former player, not one former coach, not one former front office person has said this week, oh, yeah, I get it.
I get it.
Not one person. Every single one that I've heard.
Lockstep.
Has said, I've never seen that before. Unacceptable.
Daniel Jeremiah said, not even in high school, he's seen that.
Like, that's crazy.
Now we're seeing Joe Flacco. How about them apples?
Wow. This.
Bingo. All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
Father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.